my hot milk makes all the girls sleepy. And they're like, David, do what you please. Damn right, they get really slutty. I can't tell you, cause then they'd arrest me. My hot milk makes Crystal easy. And she's like, she's all over me. Damn right, she's really needy. Ted can help her, cause I got what she needs. My hot milk makes Crystal all relaxed and super horny. What she don't know, it's libido zone. Maybe I'll get boned. La 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 la. Warm it up. La 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 la. Crystal is waiting. La 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 la. She's dumb as a rock. La 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 la. Cause she keeps drinking. My hot milk makes all the girls sleepy. And they're like, David, do what you please. Damn right, they get really slutty. If Jesse Hubbard knew, well then he'd arrest me. My hot milk drive Crystal crazy. And she's like, all comfy cozy. Damn right, dumb and easy. Keep on drinking, it's good for you, baby. That's right, Crystal. Drink my warm hot milk. It's delicious and nutritious. Plus, it makes you super horny. And that's good for me. David Hayward. That's me. This week on All My Children, quack is a hole for a sad man with a mug of hot milk.
Everything is dull till little mental Annie shows up.
Poor Rebecca. Poor, poor Rebecca. Wait. She's coming back to life. It's a Christmas miracle.
Oh, and that is not a t-shirt, Cameron. Don't be shy. Rock the thong.
Rock the thong, baby.
Rock the thong.
Rock the thong, thong.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
This is a show about all my children, and we still watch, so you don't have to.
Exactly, so you don't have to. And you know, you guys, we're taking a bullet for you, let me tell you.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
Damn, Angela, this meal looks delicious.
I never made meals for you with salt.
Damn, damn, damn.
You idiot, Chuck Pratt. Suck it.
Suck it, Chuck Pratt.
Suck it.
Suck it.
Honey, I have to tell you something. Aunt Di is Aunt Dead.
This is your fault, Ryan. You put that poor woman through hell with your stupid shenanigans, you selfish bastard.
We're just having so much joie de vivre, Zach, Karen, France.
I love you. All right, girls, I'll give you the sperm right now.
Suck it, Brian Franz.
Suck it.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
It just seemed like yesterday Erica was in prison.
Dancing to that crack song.
Yeah.
Erica, Kane.
Zach, what is up your ass that you're taking all your frustration and anger out on Reese?
On Reese?
It's disgusting.
She has juggy pigs to save her.
Bubianca. Oh, I love Bubianca. Bubianca.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending December 12th, 2008. It's so nice to be with you, Jordan Hudson.
It's nice to be back.
And it's nice to have all the astute contributions of our bloggers.
Yes, our bloggers gave us our captions this week.
You gave us our captions, you know, this week, you bloggers. You know who you are. So we might have tweaked a few of them.
We tweaked a few of them, but
for the most
it's all
part,
you. Gave
it's
us
you guys.
Inspiration, because our blog is the best blog. I don't care what anybody says.
I don't care what nobody says.
We have the best people.
And they have the manners. Astute.
Yes, they have manners. They know how to express themselves, and they don't just knock anything. They critique. It's
you know
beautiful.
What I thought was really nice?
What?
Last week's blog, I believe it was last week, there was a new blogger who we were so happy to have on board, and I'm forgetting their name. But we were so happy to have any new bloggers on board, and I think that they were giving spoilers.
Uh-huh.
And we've become something of a spoiler-free blog.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had to stick to that rule. And I think it was Shadow who very gently, very politely told the person that we're a spoiler-free blog. No big
deal.
Yeah. No name calling, no roughhousing. We are not a ghetto blog.
We're ghetto, but our blog is not ghetto.
Classy.
It's very classy.
That's right.
I want to take a moment of silence, please.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
What was that for?
It was for me and Laura. It was in honor of Boston Legal, which finished up this week on
Laura.
ABC.
She
2 hours.
Boston Legal
me too. We were big Boston Legal fans, and It was a beautiful exit. David Kelly wrote a script that basically gave the finger to ABC and the network executives.
Good for him. And it was. And you know who David Kelly is married to?
Yep. Miss Michelle Pfeiffer.
Miss Michelle Pfeiffer.
The gorgeous Miss Michelle
gorgeous,
Pfeiffer.
Talented.
Who keeps getting better looking as she gets
That's
older.
That's what I don't understand. It doesn't make no sense. It's
well,
like Erica
okay,
Kane.
I'm going to tell you something. I personally, I've said this before on the blog, I think women look better as they get older. I've never
That's because you're gay, Jordan.
No. First of all, I've been with many of women.
All right,
second
fine.
Of all, I'm still very attracted to women. I honestly I've never understood the appeal. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some young girls that are hot, but I never understood that baby fat appeal and all that. I mean, just, I like a woman with experience, you know, a woman
whose wrinkles tell a story.
No, not, see, but you're talking, not wrinkles. I'm talking about, there's just something, there's a confidence that's sexy when a woman gets to a certain age. And I'm not saying 40. I mean, some women get there in their late 20s. Some get there in their early 30s. It's not about, it's that maturity and confidence that comes that a lot of young girls don't have.
In other words,
what?
You're a man that respects women.
No, I still find women very hot. Like, I'm going
to
tell you who
No,
I,
what I'm saying is, well, you. I'm getting to a point here.
Oh, I know. I'm you not know Chuck what Pratt. I'm,
that's right. You are no right. Chuck Pratt.
But before we get that, I got to tell you, I'm just catching up on Lipstick Jungle. And you know who's on Lipstick Jungle now?
That show's getting canceled.
We're not sure about that yet. It seems that Brooke Shields might have been telling the truth. But that's another
truth?
Story for
it. I don't know about that.
But listen. Vanessa Marcel from General Hospital, who played Brenda,
yes,
is on Lipstick Jungle now,
in
a recurring role.
She's in Vegas, right?
Yes, she's been
is
Vegas.
Is that off there?
Yeah, that's gone. That's your
what
man Josh is.
Josh,
he's unemployed. I told you last
oh,
week that his only job.
Go have fun.
I said his only job is going to get married
young
to Fergie.
And beautiful. Oh, go
I've
to the
never
beach.
Been, I've see. I've not.
Jump naked. Have fun.
I don't find him attractive. But anyway, I don't. He's a good-looking guy, but I wouldn't do him. But anyway,
I've seen him in person.
Listen,
he's impeccable.
Put
me in a
like
room with Josh Duhamel. Oof. He's coming out with a limp.
Vanessa Marcel
takes my breath away
looks
in person.
Hotter now,
yes,
than she did when she was in General Hospital back
I
in the early
that.
90s. I just think that she is somebody, and
she's very beautiful.
She is just getting beautiful with age. I think she looks hotter
she's
now.
She's getting
than she
beautifuler
did.
And beautifuler.
And let me tell you something. You know who else I feel that about?
Who?
John Stamos. Remember John Stamos from Full
yes!
House?
Yes.
I could, when he was in General Hospital and Full House, did nothing for me. Now I think he is one of the most sexiest men on earth.
How about
gorgeous.
This one? How
who,
about
who?
This one?
Who?
Rob Lowe is way hotter now than ever he was.
I'd agree with you to an extent.
Ah!
I think he was hot back then,
freaking
though.
Gorgeous, though.
There was, but this,
yes, he was hot back then, but he's
he is,
still smoking
yeah,
hot.
But
he got an average-looking wife.
And then there's some people.
He does.
You are cruel.
What do you mean?
Who are you to call anybody average?
There's nothing wrong. I'm not saying she's ugly. I said she's average. She's not like a movie star looking person. That's all I'm saying.
But to him, she
it's
is.
It's not like Brooke Burke and what's his name from Baywatch.
Oh, but you know what? I don't think that they're that hot.
They're two beautiful people
no,
on paper.
First of all,
yes, they are. He's
see,
not really manly.
Our,
he's sort of modelly.
He looks too
he's
much
modelly.
Like
no, he's kind of girly.
I don't like his looks at all. She, I'll admit, has something. Him, no. Ugh.
How about
he's
this?
Creepy
How
looking.
About this? How about this? How would you describe Alicia Minshew's new husband? Go
That's
ahead.
That's not fair.
What did you say before?
That's
looking
not fair.
Looking at the picture, what did you say?
Yeah, but that
I believe his direct quote was, that old man?
Don't say that. If Alicia's listening, she's going to hate me. Alicia, it's just my jealousy because I feel like you should be with me. I told you I would go back for you. We'd have kids. I'm sorry. I'm very.
I didn't mean to out
I'm
you.
I'm very attracted to her.
Her and Florencia Lozano.
Oh.
He will not shut up all week about Taya from
Let
One Life to Live.
Let me tell you something. When she started back in the late 90s, I was like, that's the woman I'm going
to
marry.
He came of age to Florencia Lozano.
Oh my gosh. She is. 10 years later, she's still as hot as ever, boy. She heated One Life to Live this week.
I gotta admit something.
What?
I don't like how they're doing her hair. She's so beautiful. Have
Mr.
you seen her?
Mr. Blackwell died and you took over. You are just too critical about everybody.
Listen, can I ask you a question?
What?
Do we not do an opinion podcast for the viewers? They listen for our astute commentary. How would they like it if they tuned in every week and I was like, oh, she's pretty. She's nice. Oh, she's very, very, very striking. She's very, very unusual.
But
she's very individual.
She's very individual.
You know, like all those. She is very.
She's unique. She's one of a kind. God bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
That's what I'm saying. Boring.
Look, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. We had a big difference of opinion this week on this show.
She
actually liked the show.
I liked some episodes.
Not
all of it.
I
still hated some of it.
I got to tell you guys, I really don't know how much more I could do with this. I'm sorry. It was like nails on a chalkboard for me this week. And you guys have to understand, it's to me, somebody wrote a list from TV Guide about the soaps were.
I was shocked, yeah. And thank you for supplying that list. That was a great list.
I forgot what was most disappointing show or most something.
One Life.
Or
One
most
Life
frustrating
to live.
Show. Most frustrating show, I think, was As the World Turns. And while I'll be honest.
No, I thought it was One Life. No, I was shocked.
I think most disappointing show was One Life.
Yeah, but how is that possible?
But most frustrating show.
You know
show,
why that is the rape storyline? Because people are so stupid over that story.
Yeah,
line.
Well, that's because people are stupid. I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult people.
There was a blogger. But, who liked the rape storyline, and we with you.
I'm sorry. This is what daytime is about.
Thank you.
Difficult issues and what do you want? This is not Little House on the Prairie. Anyway.
Go ahead.
What I'm going to say is most frustrating show to watch. Now, I watch As the World Turns, and I'm not going to lie to you. This year, As the World Turns was up and down and crazy. But to me,
piece of crap.
The most frustrating show is All My Children. And I'm going to explain why. Because there's enough goodness in All My Children for that show to be good. It's not like
that show should be great.
It's not like there's not a talented cast. It's not like the cast is horrible. You just brought back Debbie and Darnell, for God's sake. Okay? You got Cornelius who's playing their son.
Very
so
talented.
There's good actors in the show. There's some actors with history on the show, and yet the show still isn't working.
Both of them are excellent.
Because you got you're so stupid. You got a head misogynistic writer. I'm sorry.
He is misogynistic.
I'm sorry. You were telling me about a scene that you like, and I saw it in a very misogynistic way. And you know what? I'm not even going to put all the blame on Chuck Pratt. I'm going to put the blame. Hold on a second.
Here he goes, viewers. Here he goes.
Addie Walsh.
Darren Little and Tracy Thompson, Jeff Beldner, Chip Hayes, Rebecca Taylor, Joanna Cohen, and Kate Hall.
Those are all the writers of All My Children currently. And you know what? All of them need to be fired because the dialogue sucks.
Who is at the top of this list?
Yes, but see, that's you don't know how soaps are written.
Charles Pratt Jr.
He comes up with the storylines, girl. And then these people come up with the daily breakdowns. And then these people write the dialogue.
Something? They write stuff, and if he says, I hate it, then they have to go back to the drawing board.
They all should be fired. It's that simple. All of them should be fired because the show is horrible. This week, some of the worst dialogue was coming out of people's mouths. So, I mean, the dialogue was so... And then, talk about missing scenes. Now, let's start off with Brat and Taylor. All right? I want to ask you something.
What?
In last week's episode, because maybe I fell asleep. I don't know. Was there a scene on Friday's episode where Brat fell down?
They made love.
No, I'm not talking about your Pine Valley at Night show that only you get on your high-definition TV. I'm talking about... On last week's Friday's episode of Thursday, did we see a scene where Brat fell down?
Yes, we did.
Oh, then my bad. I missed that.
We actually did.
I don't know. I guess I fell asleep or something.
Yes, he was talking to Taylor and she fell and she was like, Brat,
no,
Brat.
I do remember that.
Yes.
Oh.
That happened.
Oh, that did happen.
No, the biggest brouhaha. That's not the word I'm looking for. The biggest snafu, that's the word I'm looking for, was this damn snowstorm out of nowhere. I wake up and Crystal is at the mansion and so is Bianca and Reese and Zach are in the mountains. That was pathetic and ridiculous.
That was so dumb. Everything was dumb to me this week.
That was stupid.
Guys, I'm sorry. I gotta be honest with you. I'm just not feeling what's going on. Let's start.
I don't agree. I don't agree with him.
Yeah, let's start. I will say this.
What?
I love you, Melissa Claire Egan, because you put a smile on my face. And a twinkle in my eyes, and you make me laugh because you're so funny as Crazy and Sandy.
And a tingle in his pee-pee.
Yes, you even get me a little tingly now that I'm there. You're so cute. You're so funny.
So cute. She actually is. Except I have one thing about her.
I knew you were going to say something. Next. You are the person with the backhanded compliments. You really are. You like to give somebody a compliment and in the same breath slap them upside their head.
This is not a backhanded compliment. What? This is just backhanded. I notice sometimes when she cries or when she gets real emotional, she looks a little Asian.
I'm not even going to comment on that. You are so...
Do you know? Oh, can I just tell you something, people? I look Asian.
Yes, that's why I was like,
I know. He looked at me like, I look Asian. And it's really funny because
she's very
Chyna
Latina.
They call me China, Chinita.
China Latina.
They call me Chinita. And the reason they call me that, when I was little, and nobody in my family has my eyes. I'm the only one that has my eyes.
Were you adopted?
No.
You sure? It could be like all my children. Maybe they switched you to the hospital.
Don't be mean. That's not mean. That's not
like,
nice.
Like little Adam and
they're not, like, listen, they're not completely Asian. They're just sort of resemble, like maybe Filipino, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, I don't look like I'm from China, but I look a little Asian-inspired. Maybe Polynesian.
Asian-inspired?
Yeah, like Polynesian.
Why do you keep creating new terminology and stuff?
So, listen, when I was little, it was really devastating, because when I was little, kids used to chase me down the block, and they used to be like, hoing, toing, hoing, toing, toing. And I never knew what they were talking about.
They did that to you?
I swear to God.
That's horrible.
I would laugh, because I didn't know what they were talking about, because I didn't think, because I knew I was Puerto Rican.
Well, I grew up in an Irish
neighborhood. And I was in the Bronx.
And they beat me up and called me Spick.
They did, right?
Yeah, because one of my best friends was Irish.
Yeah.
And they held me down and they called him a Spick lover and they beat me up and called me a Spick.
But you want to know the funny thing?
It was a hardcore Irish neighborhood in the Bronx. What?
Do you want to know the funny thing?
What?
Irish and Puerto Ricans generally love each other.
Well, no, I know they do. I know
we
a lot.
We have like...
There's a lot of mixed picks. I know a lot of mixed picks running around.
Because Irish are very like loud and into their family and into food and eating.
In my neighborhood, that's what you call a half-breed. Somebody who's Irish and Puerto Rican, we call them mixed picks.
Oh, that's funny. Only we can see that, people. You can't... If you're a white person from Kansas, you may not want to use that term. I'm always saying just for your safety. But for us, we can say it.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's really true.
No, they do get... That's why I was so surprise.
My dad's best friend, her name is Patricia.
Patricia Lopez?
No, she's Irish. I can't give her last name.
Oh.
She's Patty from the Bronx.
Then her name is like Juanita O'Brien?
No, she is Irish. She's like Patty McSorkin something. I don't know.
Why can't they do that on the soaps and bring some more like... Passions had the Lopez Fitzgeralds.
That would be brilliant.
But the bizarre thing on Passions was that every time they would call them by their names, they would call them by their full name.
Really?
It was the most bizarre. They'd be like, look, Pilar Lopez Fitzgerald. Passions was one of the most...
That's like Chef. God,
Watch Passions for the first week because I was like, oh, God, a new soap. You know, I got to try because they just canceled like my, you know, whatever. And like... Oh, girl, that show was so bad.
Where were we?
I guess I was trying to avoid talking about all my children.
You were trying to talk about Brat, but I don't really want to talk about Brat right now. You want to talk about Brat? We can talk about Brat. It don't really connect to much else.
Well, because to me, that was the only good thing. That was the only good thing this week.
I thought there was two good things this week.
I thought Brat working opposite Taylor, she brings out the best in him. I thought their scenes were good. I mean, the writing was okay because I don't believe in the writers.
I thought she harshed on him in The View. When she was on The View with him, they talked, you know, they talked mostly about him. And then when they talked, and he was really gracious and sweet and wonderful. And then when she talked about him, she said to him, you know, it's really hard working with people who are not actors. Like, she said that. And she didn't mean it bad, but it came off a little harsh. I can't explain it. I didn't think it was very generous. I thought she should have been more complimentary.
Okay, I'm sorry. I did not see The View. So this is the first I'm here. You're a bitch, Beth Ellis. I'm sorry.
No, but listen.
Don't take my word for it.
But she did say that. I was really surprised.
If she said that, that's messed up. Because you know what, honey? Try working opposite Adam. He's no actor either. Or maybe she was talking about Adam and Kobe. But she hasn't really had... She has season Kobe. Maybe she was worried about...
Listen, she's been working with Randy, so...
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm
saying. Maybe she wasn't referring to him.
No, she was. I'm telling you. His face kind of went funny, but he was very gracious about her.
No, well, I'm sorry. She said that in reference to him. She's a bitch. I'm sorry. I hate to say it.
I thought that was cruel. I'm going to play for you, people.
Because you know what? I'd rather watch Brat then Adam, then Jackson.
Me too.
Then Randy.
Me too.
Then Brianna Mongrief.
I can't talk about those people.
You know what? Wait a minute. I just realized this.
What?
We were free of her for a whole week.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God. No five head? No five head the whole week.
Oh, my God. No wonder I liked the show this week a little better. I felt very light this week. I felt very, very jovial, if you will.
That's because you didn't have five heads.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Let's talk about Brat. Let's talk about Brat, baby.
She really said that?
I'm going to play it for you. Do I need to play it for you during the show?
No, no. I'm sorry. I think that's really, that really like is.
I have to play it for you now.
No, but it.
All right, people. I just did a high tech edit and I played the view for Jordan Hudson. I'm gonna play for you at the end of the show. I'm gonna save it for y'all. But I had to show it to Jordan. I have to stand corrected. What she said, Beth Eller said, was, you're dealing with people who are not actors. That's what she said. And then she said, and he stood out. And then someone said, and he has acting chops. And then she said, well, he's certainly grown as an actor.
See, now you just put a little, you just did a little inflection there that she did not do. You did a little Susan Lucci inflection.
You judge for yourself, people.
I got to tell you that I did see it, and I do. I won't say this. I'll take back my Beth Ellis. You're not a bitch. You're bitch light. You're bitch light as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it could go either way. It could be taken the wrong way.
It wasn't great.
I do think that, like,
she could have been more generous, don't you
think? On a show where you're working with Adam and Brianna Mungreif and Randy, you got some nerves talking about people that can't act. Because those three are actors.
I got to tell you, when you on The View, you got to bullshit. You know what I'm saying? That is your job. If you want to be a superstar, you got to.
You know
this
what
is Hollywood.
This is why I don't like.
You got to be like, oh my God, he's amazing.
This is why I don't like talk shows. I don't watch Jay Leno. I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel. Because all of them do is they placate to like these celebrities.
Well,
and
she
didn't. They don't. This is why I like Chelsea Handler. Because when she gets her interviews with people, they know what they're getting in for on that show. She does not hold back. And she will make you look like a fool if she needs to. Mm-hmm. And I want people to be honest. Like, if I had my own show,
well, she was honest.
I would be promoting the people that I like. I would be asking the tough questions. I would be in people's faces.
We should have a talk show.
I would like a talk show, but it can't be like Regis and Kelly because that's too nicey-nicey. I would be, no. I wouldn't want the big names. I want the smaller names. I would like people to know that there's other music artists out there than Britney Spears. Though I like your new CD, Britney. It's not as good as Blackout, but.
Can I just tell you something? Smaller names, smaller audience. That's the problem.
No. But you're opening people's eyes up to the other
things
that are going
there. All right, fine. We are digressing. My point is Beth Ellis was a little tiny bit bitchy. She could have been nicer.
Bitch light.
She could have been nicer.
Anyway.
Now listen, that ain't taking nothing away from her acting chops. Because I'm going to tell you something. That lady could act her butt off.
All right, let's zoom through these.
She talks to Angie about Brat, right?
Yes.
I don't remember what happened. I just wrote down that she talked to Angie about Brat. It was a nice scene.
It was a nice scene.
Oh, I know why. Because Angie can relate because Jesse was dead. Yeah. Back from the dead.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
Oh, my Lord.
Why are you looking at me with such
I'm beginning to worry about you.
I'm a little... I'm tired.
Do you have Mad Cow? Are you getting all Denny Crane on me?
I eat a lot of beef. That is true. I eat a lot of beef.
I mean, you're a little... Anyway, yes, that's what happened. Angie and her could relate. It was a beautiful scene with two people that could actually act.
Yes, and then Taylor goes through his coat because he goes to radiology and she finds the ring that he said he threw away. And he said, and she says to Brat, she wants the truth from him and he doesn't budge. And then she says, I don't believe you. If you didn't love me, why would you have bought this? She pulls out the ring. And then she throws it at him. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you for robbing me of love and blah, blah, blah. What else did she say?
Keep going.
I don't remember.
Mad Cow.
I jotted stuff down. It wasn't really sticking.
Yeah, that's because the dialogue is... I mean, I got to tell you...
She's sobbing a mess.
The two of them were really good. They rose above the whack dialogue they had because the writers.
He did good. I'm so
I thought
proud
he did
him.
Really good. I thought this was his best week.
He made me cry a couple times.
Who had the best week ever? brat.
That's right.
Gian Martinez, you rocked it, boy.
Yeah.
I don't care what Bitchy Beth Ellis said to you on The View.
I think the number one for best week ever was Cameron Stong, and then number two was brat.
That was last week, Cameron Stong.
Oh, but it's still resonating to today.
No,
with his appearance on The View.
No, it's only resonating to Cameron Matheson. I'm over his thong.
It resonated to me.
I'm so over
Shadow,
his thong.
Shadow, you call it a whale tail. I agree.
A whale tail. Shadow, what are you smoking?
Where are you going, whale tail? He comes up with all this crazy stuff.
Oh, Lord.
Stuff.
All right.
Shadow needs to guest host one day.
Yes. Get in the elevator. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Anyway, the dumbest part. The most ridiculous part.
And somebody in our blog mentioned that, too. I forgot who it was. Was it Shadow?
I think it was Shadow.
Oh, Lord.
Who goes to leave but brat? And who takes the elevator but brat? Actually, no, that's not true. Jake goes to the elevator. He's got somewhere to go. And who runs to catch the elevator but brat? And what happens? They get stuck. Duh. And then Jake has to act all the saint and tell him to be with Taylor because Taylor still loves him.
I didn't understand why Jake didn't become Jake Iva and get them out of the elevator.
He pulled that phone out and he made that call.
No, I'm surprised he didn't say, do you have a piece of gum and an old orange juice carton Tropicana and a red ballpoint pen?
He could have done it. Jake Iva could have done it. Who you want to talk about next? Because what else happened with them? Nothing really. Oh, I know what happened. This is what we're going to talk about. My favorite moments of the week.
Oh, Lord.
Miss Amanda Licious. You know why we call her Amanda? Because she got beautiful memories. You would think I was a male. You would think I was a hot-blooded American male.
No, I think you're a hot-blooded Bianca.
What do you mean? A boo Bianca?
A less Bianca.
Listen, for Chriselle, absolutely. She is beautiful. You showed me a picture of her in Soap Opera Digest with her new man.
That wasn't Soap Opera Digest. That was Soap Opera News or something.
Ah, whatever. Soap Opera crap.
We see Amanda setting
up. No, you don't tell this story. I tell this.
All right,
this is my story. We're gonna juxtapose into our little Amanda setting up on Friday's episode for a photo shoot for Valentine's Day. As she fantasizes during this shoot, she's trying to describe to the photographer what this shoot needs to embody. And she's saying pure sexuality.
Now, was that a flashback or was that something new that they shot?
That was her fantasy, baby.
Because I never saw the two of them going at it like that.
Listen, I'm going to give this one something I haven't given in a long time. What do you think I'm going to give it?
Slut metric?
A slut metric! The slut metric with trampometric technology. Hold on. I'm blowing it off. It's dusty. Ooh, it got in your eye. I'm sorry. His eyes are tearing.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Woo! That was a 901, the slut metric. She fantasized Jake making love to her. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. Mr. Jake, what's his real name?
Ricky Paul Golden.
That's
RPG.
RPG.
Like horn-rim glasses from
I don't care what
Heroes.
I don't care what any of y'all people say about Mr. Ricky Paul Golden. That man is sexy. I don't care. He's gay, straight, whatever.
Why is everybody think he's gay? He's straight. He's got a woman that's pregnant or something.
He has had so many women his whole life. He's from Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn, right?
For years.
He is so very straight. He was munching on Amanda like she was the most delicious dessert.
Whoa, what? I was not as hot turned on by you.
You are crazy.
Let me tell you something.
Her beautiful back, her lips.
He was devouring her.
You
better watch.
He is not stupid. That is a beautiful woman. And he kissed every inch of that woman's body.
Why? Except her mouth. Watch that scene again. When it came time for their mouths to touch, he was like closed like that while she was open with her mouth. And that turned me off. Because if I was in that bed, my tongue would have still been down her throat. She would have had to say, excuse you.
I don't believe it.
Excuse you, Jordan.
I don't care. I would just lay back and let him enjoy every inch of me.
He turned me. I didn't like that. How could you be with this gorgeous woman and not kiss her?
You see the bad in everything, Jordan.
No. Look at that scene over again. He really didn't like.
You are Mr. Negative Nancy today.
He didn't get into the kissing with her.
Yes, he did. He loved it.
She was like a delicious Sunday. Watch the damn scene over again.
All right, fine.
He did not open his mouth.
It was way smoky, friggin' hot. What was way not hot was that nasty photographer leering at Amanda as she was about to touch herself in private places.
Well, look, he's a photographer, and she's a hottie. Who wouldn't leer at
like,
her?
She was like, I want to tell you right now, she was overheating a little bit while she was thinking of this. She was like, she like had to fan herself and like sit down. What?
Yeah, no, that was a cute little scene.
It was, but the, it was like, it was I'm like, just saying, he was like a voyeur, this icky that, photographer. I'm it was just disgusting. Saying
that he turned me off because he didn't like open mouth.
Well, he was, the photographer was disgusting. I'm on to the photographer. He was leering at her. It was disgusting. And that was another example to me of misogynistic, disgusting now, Chuck Pratt.
Now tell them what was really disgusting.
Randy's photo shoot.
Okay, I'm. This is exactly why
Miss
I had to
dead
issues.
Behind the eyes. I Randy.
Is she not supposed to be a model? Wasn't she like a model when she was younger?
No comment.
Because if somebody was a model and now you're an actress on a show that's supposed to be playing a model.
Oh, she looked like a model to
she
me.
She did not look like a model.
She did with her attitude.
Okay, first of all, Susan Nucci and Kim Delaney. Well, Kim Delaney was a model, I think. But Susan Nucci was a model.
They had different personalities. They were more happy.
When they had their photo shoots on the show.
Yes.
They were fabulous. I mean, who could forget that montage of Erica doing her first photo shoot in New York City back in the 70s?
Yeah, I would never forget it.
This was no Erica.
She was outdoors in the big, like, chiffon dresses.
This was no
dresses.
Erica. Randy looked awful. The hair was awful. The dress was awful. The way she was looking was stiff and dead
Can
behind
I ask
the
you
eyes.
A question?
And then why was the photographer? They had a backdrop, but the photographer was shooting with all the studio. Why was he shooting with the? You have a backdrop. She's supposed to be shooting the model from the backdrop.
Action
yeah,
shots.
Oh Lord!
Can I ask you a question?
What?
I have a theory that I like to posit. My first theory is that Randy is eating much more Kobe beef hamburgers because she's just getting a little fuller.
That's
you
you're saying that like that's a bad thing.
No, but this is what I'm going to tell you. The problem is that she gains the weight in her cheeks. She got like chipmunky cheeks.
I know. She looks like Alvin's girlfriend.
They get bigger.
What was Alvin's girlfriend's name?
I don't remember, but they get bigger.
Alvin had a girlfriend. Alvin.
That's
what
she looks like a little bit.
And when did
I'm sorry, Denise Vasi, you're a beautiful girl, but you're gaining a little weight in the face and it makes you look a little chipmunky.
When did Cornelius...
You want a soap opera, baby. You got to watch that. And the butt, too. It comes in the butt, too.
One can never have enough butt. Unless it's Oprah's butt. That's too much
that
butt.
That is too much.
Anyway, when did Cornelius come down with Tourette's?
Oh, when he was leering at Randy.
What Cornelius, I have
Cornelius,
been your
baby,
biggest supporter, but
you
have been faxing it in.
You have been.
And lately you've been faxing in some scenes.
No, I don't agree with that. I think he was very good with the Rebecca scenes. I thought he was very muted. Much more than normal.
Okay, no. All I know is that those scenes when he was looking at Randy and his head was turning and
he was going and he was licking his lips.
That was the most... I felt so uncomfortable watching it.
It was like the wolf in Red Riding Hood with Bugs Bunny.
I wanted to put my hands over my eyes and just like not see that because.
Do you remember the wolf and Red Riding Hood and Bugs Bunny?
He looks so stupid.
Da 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 da.
White grandma, what big eyes you have!
Cause you don't know what time it happens to me. Remember that?
Yes, I used to love that. Then she goes, Grandma, what big eyes you have to see?
No, what big eyes you got to have? That was it, remember? Everything was to have.
It was to see.
To have.
Now we're going to have to look that up.
You were going to have to look that up because that, I'm going to tell you right now, that was to have.
All right.
Y'all people can validate that. All right, so then we have Frankie leering. We have a photographer leering. Frankie was licking his chops like a beast.
I didn't like it.
Disgusting. And you know what I was thinking?
What?
I was thinking that if Frankie is lucky, maybe Randy will let him have sex with her. She's the kind of girl that she just lays back and she just lets you have sex with her. You know what I'm saying?
Somebody in the blog said this too.
Yes.
I'm over this already.
Yes. And then what produced a little taste of bile in my throat was when Randy told Frankie that she was not ready to let him have sex with her.
She's the virgin hooker.
She sure is. And then that nasty-ass photographer asked our precious, beautiful Amanda out. But she ain't going there. She takes Randy's dress, which she looks better in.
Yeah, she did.
She's beautiful.
See? She did
and
look better
she
than
did,
him.
She great in red in that dress. Oh my, she could put on a paper sack
that can't
and look
be the
perfect.
Same dress because they don't have the same bodies.
I bet you it was. But Mandy goes to trap JR. She goes to man trap JR. And then this is where I'm getting back to Jake. We're supposed to buy that Jake is all upset over Taylor. I don't buy it. Do you buy it? That she was like,
I didn't buy any of
it. Ridiculous.
As far as I'm concerned, character assassination for Jake this week.
Well, because what happened was...
You loved it, though.
No, but listen, you explained it to me and then I hated it.
You're so stupid.
It's true. What happened was, drunk Jake is all upset over Taylor. Amanda comes down from Fusion in her red dress looking beautiful. And he calls her a Halloween hooker. He says she dressed for Halloween, that she's a hooker.
All right, guys, I'm going to let her finish this out. I'm just going to say this. I found it very misogynistic. I found it very disgusting. The dialogue was horrible.
It wasn't Jake.
It came out of nowhere. All of a sudden. And why would Jake take out his effing anger out on Amanda?
On a woman.
He dumped her.
Yeah.
He dumped her.
Yeah.
So for him to be taking out his anger on her, I found that scene to be just irreprehensible.
All right. And at first I liked it because I liked it was dangerous to me. And then when JR punched the crap out of him, I liked it a lot. JR socked him so hard. It wasn't even that fake. Just, it was like, boom.
Boom. You're forcing these characters to act a certain way. Why would JR like punch?
Who do you want to talk about next? We gotta talk quicker about this crap. This is just crap. I'm talking about Greeley and Annie.
All right.
Annie attacked Aiden. Yippee. But she didn't make love to him like I hoped. And then the guards and Jesse and the shrink save Aiden. And I love Jesse talking to Aiden.
You mind telling me how you just waltz your ass into Annie's locked room?
And Aiden says, I used to get paid to access safe, secure places. And then Jesse says,
didn't go too well this time, did it? You're concerned Annie would blow your cover right out of the water.
You crack me up.
Meanwhile, Greenlee brought Ryan a Christmas tree. Wasn't that cute? Has anyone else? That I agree with Soap Opera Digest.
What?
Most contrived couple. So then Emma wakes up. And if this was a real soap, Emma would be hating on Greenlee. Because her mama's not around. And this woman comes in her daddy's life. Am I right? But instead, no. Emma says, you're the best friend I ever had. That's bull, Emma. Bull.
When did her and Greenlee have a bond?
I don't know. The green butterfly ornament, they go. What happens is Emma wakes up and says, Daddy, Daddy, I want to rake the Christmas tree now. And so they do. And so Greenlee finds his. What do you call the pipe cleaner? Green butt. You should see his face. I wish we could do a video podcast. He looks so disgusted.
Why? I just can't. Go
all right, fine. Emma falls asleep. So then that's when Greens goes to the boathouse in one of the few good scenes of the week.
Yes. Okay, I can get into this one.
Go ahead, talk about it.
Jake and Greenlee run into each other at the boathouse and they commiserate on their miserable lives and who has the worst situation. Something that they did when he first came back to town and they were doing shots of confusion.
Yes.
And all I see is missed opportunity with these two, because this just showed yet again that Jake and Greenlee should have been put together. Rebecca Budick, when she came back, should have been given an actor that was up to her level and that had chemistry with her. The two of them were fabulous together. And that scene just proved that to be the point. So you know what? All that scene showed me was missed opportunity.
But can I expand on that?
What?
Jake actually suggested in the scene that maybe they should get together. And I was screaming, yes! And then, Rebecca would have stayed on the show if she had been with him. She would have been.
If they would have given them a real storyline, yeah.
Yes. She says, dogs playing poker would have been a deal breaker. And then he says, and what about those two heads? Creepy. Two heads. Two stone heads. I loved it. Didn't you love it?
I loved it. First so time good. I loved Rebecca in weeks.
Then Aiden takes some polygraph to prove he had nothing to do with the kidnapping. Yeah, and then he goes and then he abuses Greenlee. And Chuck Pratt's third misogynistic. We should start keeping count of his misogynistic.
We could do a shot game.
Seriously, we'd be so drunk.
Everybody take a shot. Take a shot of Kettle One Vodka every time he has a misogynistic scene.
You know what I did like, though? I liked a little bit when Tad admitted to Jesse that he had done way worse. to defend someone that he loved.
Well, somebody in the blog said it, and I agree with them. Why would you want to remind us about the fact that Tad did that? We're trying to forget that fact. So to bring it up, and then not to just bring it up but not expand on it, what was the point of bringing it up then? Oh, stupid.
How harsh, though, seriously, going back a little bit to Ada, how freaking harsh was that a-hole to Greenlee? This is also a new Aiden that we don't know. Now you and Ryan are free to be together. He don't want you anymore. Well, don't come crawling back to me, because I don't want you either.
That was good. I didn't understand you at the end.
He said something to Greenlee about now Ryan don't want him, now he don't want Greenlee neither. Something like that. And he fantasized about killing Greenlee, and I was really happy about that.
I loved it.
I was surprised. When I saw Greenlee looking dead and really pale,
she looked the same.
It made me happy.
She looked the same as she did in the other scenes.
No, she looked a little paler. But I was like, that's interesting. It made me happy, too. Made me happy.
I'm rooting for Anne.
Rebecca Butter, I thought I'd never say that about you, baby. But you're losing me, baby. Because, listen, it's not all your fault. I'm going to get serious with you right now, Rebecca Butter. It's not all your fault, baby. You got some bad material. But you know what you do when you got bad material? You rise above it. You say, F it. It's my job. I'm going to rise above it. Debbie and Darnell
are doing it. Darnell
might be pushing it. Debbie's doing it. All right. Vincent Irizarry's doing it. Beth Ellers is doing it. They are doing bang up work, baby. You got to take their example. You got to rise above it. That's what you get paid to do. And you get paid a lot of money, baby. So.
I say you got to. When all else fails, take the Sydney Penney route and go out with a big bang.
You go out with a bang,
you
girl.
You give a performance of a lifetime to the very end. So the fans are like, why are you getting rid of this talented person?
That's right. Because you know what? In the end, they don't remember that the material was bad. They remember how good you were despite the bad material. Because you know what, Rebecca Budig? We know better. We are smart enough to know that you got crappy material that you got to sell.
Yeah, but right now you're looking like a piece of shit actress. I'm sorry.
You are looking bad, baby. You are looking.
Because look at Insani. Insani's eating it up.
She is eating this up.
She is eating it up.
You know what I don't like?
This is the biggest piece of crap storyline, but she says, I'm going to make the most of it and I'm going to get the audience to like me, and the audience is.
But you know what I don't like? Chuck Pratt is calling it his masterpiece character. I don't like that.
Chuck Pratt. God. I don't even tell my Chuck. Oh, go ahead. I was looking forward to it.
Listen, these are my notes. Don't you read my notes. I kind of liked when they ran into Annie at the hospital. The whole little thing with the hospital with Greenlee with Ryan at the hospital, and they ran into crazy Annie. And, all right, so let's skip ahead here. Oh, Adam tells Greenlee at this point that he's going to Washington, D.C. And we all bought it, hook, line, and sinker. We were all on the blog thinking, is he really going? We were so excited.
It was so stupid.
I was so excited.
Don't you get it? He's sleeping with Brian Franz. He's not going anywhere.
He's at least tugging him. You know what I'm saying? He's doing some tugging. Something's going on. Anyway. One of our bloggers noticed that Greenlee had a little smile on her face. Rebecca Budig had a little bit of a smile when Adam said he was going. But she hugged Adam in that scene goodbye. But right before, she says to him, I really did love you. You know, I'm not lying about that. That's exactly what she said. Dick. Greenlee gets Emma hot chocolate while Ryan tends to Annie. But then what happens is Emma overhears some nurse talking about Annie's in room 5B, so Emma ain't no dummy. She runs over to see her mommy, and Annie don't recognize her. Annie has regressed into childhood. But then she had one moment where she said she was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She said it like real Annie, though. Do you think she's faking?
I don't think she's faking, but who knows at this point? Annie's a clever one.
Aww. Is that when Emma told Greenlee she was the best friend she ever had? I had a little bile in my throat on that one. So she figures out, and Sandy figures out where she's going, right? And she gets put in the loony bin. And who shows up?
Adam.
He's under secret super cover. He bribed the guard to let him stay there, some crap like that.
And then they introduced a new character.
Who?
That blonde-haired woman. That's the girl from Passions that's going to be Annie's doctor.
Oh, really?
I think that's her. I mean,
she was attractive.
I didn't really watch Passions, but this looks like a new hairdo, but I think that's her.
Did I miss anything on that?
I don't know.
All right, fine.
All I know is that Melissa Claire Egan, you're the only bright spot in this dreadful storyline.
Meh.
Cameron Matheson.
I said it last week. I'll say it again. Meh.
You're done, Cameron Matheson. Ryan is done.
You think? I think the thong gave him new life.
Oh, he has a beautiful rear end, though. He really does.
Sculpted like a sculpture.
Like, it's just unbelievable.
You know who doesn't have a beautiful rear end? I won't say.
Reese? She don't have no rear end.
She don't have a rear end, so she don't count. Let's talk about Jesse and Angie. What do you say? It's bad, right? I know. We'll get through it, baby. We'll get through it. Because you know what our motto is here? We made a commitment to the viewers, Jordan. Jordan, we made a commitment.
It's so bad.
Repeat after me.
It's so bad.
Repeat after me.
We watch so you don't have to. But I don't know how long, much longer I can do this.
You people, he's really crying.
My God, I'm Erica Kane.
His eyes, there's water coming out of his eyes.
I can't. Okay. You know, these scenes were so choppy.
But started
so
good.
Choppy.
Jesse and Angie making out in the beginning of the week was good. I felt like I had my old Jesse and Angie back.
Go ahead.
Then, of course, Rebecca walks in and ruins it. You know, I used to like her, and now I hate that bitch. Freaking die. Die, Rebecca. God darn it.
Oh, God.
Then Natalia comes in. She is looking all like Frankie's girlfriend.
When
flirting about snowballs.
Where were the scenes where her and Frankie bonded and became brother and sister? Where were the scenes where she decided she was going to be living with Frankie and Randy?
I don't know.
This is what I'm talking about, bad writing. This is what this is why All My Children is the most frustrating show, because you know what? I can't get into this when you're not giving me scenes with these people.
I agree.
Where are those scenes? All of a sudden, they're like brother and sister.
I agree.
And they're fighting the way he used to fight with Yaya.
I agree.
I can't remember Yaya's character's name.
Cassie.
I want Yaya back.
She was in the Reader's TV Guide list of out promising stars or something like that. Newcomer.
Obviously, All My Children didn't think so. They're putting their money behind Kobe.
And Natalia. Jesus.
Okay, you know why I don't like her?
Why?
Because she speaks from her throat, not from her diaphragm. Everything is right up here. Do you die? And she screeches. Her voice is like nails on a chalkboard.
Can I ask you a question, people?
Like,
is she
like
really
her.
Any worse than Randy or Dead Behind the Eyes Kobe?
And you know what? She looks a little bit like a tranny. She looks a little bit like a tranny.
She is Black Levin.
She is Black Levin. She's very Amazonish.
One of our bloggers said she looks like an African American Levin Rambin.
She looks like this tranny.
She does.
That I used to go see at this bar here in New York.
She's prettier than that. She got a smoking hot body. I agree with our bloggers.
I want her gone.
I want her dead.
I think you like her.
I'm not going to mince words. I don't like her enough to keep her.
I think her character is pointless. I think she's pointless. I think she's horrible. I want her gone. I want Yaya back.
The worst part was when the two families started to decorate the Christmas tree and Natalia whips out their ornaments.
Who writes this shit?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
And at first, Angie's so very understanding. You know, she's walking that line between understanding
and
not.
She's Saint Annie.
Well, Saint Angie, you mean?
She's Saint Angie of the push-up bra.
Well, yeah, she is Saint Angie in the push-up bra, but she also knows she's going to get some payoff. What?
See, you don't even know.
I don't know what it's
that wrong. Was. Remember when Erica was on the pills and she was voted Woman of the Year and she was giving her speech and attacking everybody and she called Maria, Saint Maria of the push up bra. I love that. I missed those.
Don't remember this.
Those are some good. I used to love those scenes.
Gucci got to pee. I got to finish the storyline.
I'd rather talk about good stuff on All My Children. Don't you remember when they were all living in Wildwind and Maria was on the hormone pills trying to get pregnant and Erica was on the drugs?
I didn't watch.
Oh, my God. I used to live for those fights.
I did not watch.
Oh, some Eva LaRue and Susan Lucci battling it out was good. All right, go ahead.
Well, finally, Angie breaks down a little bit and realizes that this is actually not cool because it's actually her first Christmas back with her husband that she thought was dead for 20 years. Which is really what gets me mad about it. And I hate the storyline. I've said it a million times. I wish this storyline, just like Dixie's pancakes, would just just flare up, just in a ball of fire and flames like it never happened. That would make me so happy. And honestly, I was so mad. When I heard her say that this was, remind us that this was her first Christmas in 20 years, I was so pissed. She has this crap thrown in her face about ornaments from Natalia. Come on now.
Because Natalia's so transparent about all this. You know what I mean? Ugh,
she's like a 10-year-old. And then, of course, then thank God Rebecca collapses. Happy days are here again. The sky above is clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Seriously, happy days are here again. I was so happy. And then they say that she signed a DNR. And I'm like, good, let her die. Good, she wants to die. But of course they revive her. Because Jesse asks. So then they go to the hospital.
Well, what's her name was begging.
Yeah, well, Natalia
was. It was more Natalia than Jesse.
It was Jesse, too. I blame him, too. So then they go to the hospital. They put Rebecca on life support. And I actually really liked, I agree with you. We talked about this, how David policed Angie about breaking the hospital rules.
I told her, I actually like Debbie and Darnell have, I mean, Debbie and Vincent have some chemistry.
Ooh, big time.
And I like their fuse. The only problem that I have with it is David has some nerves telling anybody anything with the shit
but
that he's pulled.
That's what's perfect about it.
I know, and you're right. He is an eagle. I just wish that David's character was more the kind of character that was
he's
doing.
He's psychotic.
I wish that he was doing.
He's literally psychotic. Everything that
he
does is right. Everything everyone else
I know,
else
but
does
I wish
wrong.
That they would have had it be that when he's in the hospital, his ethics are pure. When he's a doctor, he just do slimy shit on the side outside of that.
No, I like
that.
The contrast. I do.
No, because he doesn't have a leg to stand on then.
But that's the point
and
that's
of what it. Joe
is that he desperately
it.
Believes that he's right in all cases. He doesn't see where he's wrong ever. I like it.
I mean, he's crazy when he goes out, but I love the fact that Angie gets all like
she told him to go to hell.
Woo, shoot, man. That was the
David,
best. That was some of the best scenes this week.
David,
huh? David together.
You go to hell. I didn't do that very well. David, go to hell. I can't do it. It's hard to say go to hell in Angie style.
Let me put her weave on you. Maybe that'll help. I like her weave this week. Her weave was cute.
Her weave is adorable.
The little short cool. I
think they gave the weave a little trim.
Yeah, it looked cute.
Listen, why when Natalia cries over Reba, I don't feel for her?
Because she's a bad actress. Because she speaks from her throat. And every time she cries, she's like, you can't leave me, mama.
You know what the worst part of this is?
That's Natalia.
You make it sound like she's been smoking cigarettes for 82 years.
Because, don't you see, every time she says a sentence, at the end of the sentence, she is all in her throat and she sounds like she's screeching it out. She's like, you can't kill my mom. I hate her. I want her gone.
She's trying to cry. Well, listen, here's the problem. Now Angie has to tell everybody that they got to kill Rebecca. It's not a problem for me. Believe you me, I'm very happy about it. But for Natalia, this is a problem. So Angie... Well, actually, so we had one of our bloggers. We've talked about you a lot this show, Shadow. You made a real impact this week on us.
Shadow has a high-definition TV, too, because he got Pine Valley at night, and there was a scene that we didn't see.
There was a scene in Pine Valley at night.
And this was the scene that you guys didn't get to see on the regular show.
I'll play Angie.
I'll be Natalia.
And I'll be Frankie.
Okay.
And you'll be Natalia.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. She's way dead. Gone. Deceased. No more. Bit the dust. Used to be. Now pull that plug, honey.
No! She can't be. You've always wanted her.
That's not true. Now, girl, your mama is belly up, breathless, cadaverous, checked out, defunct, departed, expired, extinct, inanimate, inert, mortified, oft rubbed out, snuffed out, spiritless, stiff, cashed in, checked out, decaying, disintegrating.
I don't understand.
For those of you that don't understand Natalia's line, it is, I don't understand any of this. What are you saying? And scene. It was the best scene. Pie Valley, now you have to watch it.
Oh, my gosh. She is horrible. I'm sorry I can't stand her.
Thank you, Shadow, for bringing that to our attention. We really enjoyed that.
We got to finish it because I got to go home and watch Starter Wife, the season finale.
All right, fine. Listen. Angie was working up the tears over having to kill Rebecca. Let me tell you, if I was Angie, I couldn't pull that switch fast enough. Am I right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Natalia just leaves me cold. I don't give a crap that she's losing her mom. I disagree with all of y'all. I could give a I hope her mom bites the dust quick.
Oh, wait. We forgot. No, I did like Angie sees with Jessica, because what Angie was saying was really true. She was in a predicament, and I loved Debbie Morgan. You made those you're the best girl.
The worst part of this whole thing, Angie freaking told Randy that Randy was part of the family.
No, she told Frankie.
She told that filthy that she was part of this family. Disgusting, revolting.
Yeah, I gotta ask you something.
What?
Where were those scenes that they made up and they became part of the family? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Shit comes out of nowhere in this show.
People,
if where was there a scene where Angie and her bonded and she's like part of the... Because she was like, no, Frankie, she's staying because she's part of the family.
If you don't watch the show, people, I'm gonna tell you something. What do you think happens when they finally pull that damn plug to Rebecca? What do you think happens, people? Duh, she lives. Of course. Crap.
And see, this is what I find.
Kill her! Kill her!
It's not even about kill. It's about believability. You had a chance to put to play a powerful story, and now didn't Angie say that this was terminal?
Was it Norn said that? Norn and 69.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't read.
He said it was an opportunity to tell a story about someone who was.
And he's right. But what I'm saying is, look at this. Did Angie not say at the beginning when she first diagnosed her, didn't she say that this was terminal? Didn't we agree that this is terminal and she's definitely gonna die? Now all of a sudden she's telling Natalia, how can you fight if it's terminal? Like, what is there to fight? So now you're telling me that she's not terminal?
Someone needs to pee-pee in her drip bag.
No, this is not funny. No, I'm gonna be serious for a minute. There are people in real life. All of a sudden on General Hospital, they go, oh, guess what, Robin? Your HIV test was wrong all those years ago. Or guess what, Robin? We got a cure for HIV just for you.
This is bullshit.
Yeah. This is bullshit. Either she had a freaking terminal...
Illness,
or she didn't.
I agree. It could be a thing, like, where you put them in hospice, like... You know, like, and some of our listeners and readers have had to go through watching close family die. Laura is one of them.
Let me just say, my aunt had Alzheimer's for what felt like 2 decades. You don't understand how long. That disease was so horrible.
Yeah.
And for some people, it's a blessing because they come and go real quick. My aunt, you don't understand how long my aunt lived with this. And how we had to, I mean, if you're going to do a storyline about something like this, do it right. You disgust me on my children right
suck
now.
Suck it, all my children. Suck it.
That pissed me off.
You know what really pissed me off?
What?
That Zach and that Reese.
You're on your own. This is another one. I'm sitting
He's
back.
He's going to the bathroom. Do you have to go to the bathroom?
I don't have to go to the bathroom, but I'm just not going to. I'm not even going to comment because you know what? Zach annoys me. His character annoys me.
I love Zach.
His misogynistic abuse to Reese annoys me. I'm so over. I don't know why Reese puts up with it. And she needs to eat a hamburger.
She does need a hamburger. She needs one of those Kobe beef hamburgers that Randy's been eating.
And I'll say another thing. Why was he stupid enough to go out in the snowstorm to push the car with no gloves or scarf or hat on?
Because he's a manly man. He's the manliest
of men.
He's
the manly man.
He is the manliest of men.
Go ahead. Tell them all about it. I'm going to stay quiet because I hate Zach.
The most thing that pissed me off the most thing was the fact that I felt like I missed an episode. From Monday to Tuesday, I literally, Jordan Hudson, had to check my DVR info to make sure I was on Tuesday's episode. Because
I feel like that all the time.
Because all of a sudden, they were in a huge snowstorm at other people's houses. Have you ever been in a storm, Jordan Hudson, that was so bad that you had to find an equipped, abandoned house and make cocoa and light a fire?
No, wait a minute. In their defense, Reese said that they came across a moose or something, and he swerved so that he wouldn't hit the poor moose.
You did not answer my question, Jordan Hudson. Have you ever occasioned to inhabit a house, an abandoned house that had all the fixings?
Girl, I'm from the Bronx.
And sleep over because you got stuck in a car.
Girl, I'm from the Bronx. I've never been to the country. That's never happened to me.
I'm going to tell you something right now. The worst snowstorm that ever happened, it happened last year. There was a man who was with his wife and I believe their children. And he left that car and he died. Okay, they didn't find no abandoned house. He tried to save his family and he died.
Is this a true story?
Yes, it is a true story. Actually, the guy, I think he worked for a news organization. It was very tragic. Very tragic. It was horrible. But that's what I mean. It's like these freaking things don't happen. All so over AMC, it happens.
Are you saying that you want Zach to die? I'll go for that. Yay!
Listen, at least give him a little frostbite. You know what I'm saying? Something. Stupid. Or maybe that Reese. She should have been a popsicle. I'm telling you right now. She got no meat on them bones. There's no way she would survive a snowstorm like that.
Well, see, if this was like that movie.
She had no insulation.
What was that movie about the Argentinian people that crashed in the mountains back in the 70s? That true story?
Oh, yeah.
And then they ate each other. Yeah. Remember that?
Zach
was starved.
Yeah, no, there's no meat on them bones. No. It would be like.
Too much light. You knew where I was going with that one.
It would be like preparing chicken bones, like not chicken legs. It'd just be like chicken bones. They talk about Kendall, Reese, and Zach in this cabin, but they don't bother to call her. Now they give some crap about cell phone service.
Well, you know that happens always on the soaps. They can never get cell phone service.
They can never get through.
They can never get through.
So then Binks gets home and no Reese, no Zach. And then Ryan thinks that they got stuck in the mountains with no cell service because they always know. They're so smart, these people in Pine Valley. Well, Reese and Zach must be stuck in the mountains in a cabin drinking hot cocoa, making a fire, keeping warm and sleeping over. And they probably didn't have cell service and that's why they didn't call you. Stupid. Reese and Zach get home and all is well and I want to vomit. And then I really, this whole thing about Reese keeping Zach's secret about Kendall, I don't really care. I don't feel like it's drama. Is it high drama to you?
I it's not high drama, but I think it's really messed up.
It is messed up, yes. But it's like, it's become this whole giant storyline.
I think it's stupid of her at this point to even continue with this. It's kind of like destroying the relationship for me because like, they supposedly are this strong couple. Why would she keep this from Bianca? Who's Zach to her?
I agree. Zach abuses.
A sperm donor.
No, because Zach mentally abuses her into doing his crap. Yeah, that's why he does.
They're really irking.
He mentally manipulates her. I gotta say though, Boo Bianca was really booming it up in that black knit dress.
She looked hot this week.
Oh
my god, we don't agree on anything. I thought she looked hot. Her hair looked hot. Her breasts looked hot. She looked hot this week.
You are never gonna hear a bad word about Miss Eden Regal from me. But I will contribute Carlos's opinion. I will contribute Carlos's opinion. He asked me if she really gave birth in real life. I said no. I don't think she had a baby. Do you think she had a baby?
I don't know.
I don't think she had a baby. Anyway, it does look a little bit like Binks is getting larger while Reese is getting smaller. That's the only thing I will say. Do you ever know someone who has twins? Sometimes if they have twins, it's dangerous because one twin will eat more and so the other twin gets less nutrition.
Where do you get this shit from?
I don't know. It just came.
You making this up.
I'm not. That really happens. Listen, people. You know that really happens.
One twin's going to eat the other one?
No, not that they eat the other one. That it leaches more of the food and the nutrition and the other
one
gets
skinny.
I'm just wondering if Bianca is eating, you know, Reese's craft service. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, God.
Listen.
Help me.
I love you, Eden Regal. I love Bianca. You better not change a thing. You're too beautiful. You're too perfect. Zach is pissed, right? Because he's pissed all week. Oh, wait. I skipped a whole part. They go back and forth and like Reese almost, you know, or Zach and Reese almost blow it about the secret, whatever. I don't care. What happens is when that damn Rebecca wakes up, I hate her. I like the actress. I hate the character. Hate her. That damn Rebecca wakes up. This dumb nurse goes and calls Zach and says, guess what? Your wife woke up. Messed up. I'm almost done. Zach runs to the hospital. I happen to like this development. I thought it was really psychologically evil. I liked it. He's pissed. He gets there. He realizes the mistake. She tells him. He tells off that nurse. He tells her she ain't never going to work there again. Now, this is a nurse we've seen a lot on this show. I hope she works again. She's a nice little actress.
Okay. She was this whole that whole aspect of the storyline. I know what you're saying.
She should have cried.
The payoff was good, but it was very contrived because first of all, Frankie comes out of that room where there is a coma patient.
Yes,
and says the coma patient out. I mean, how stupid must this nurse be? And then she doesn't ask what the name of the patient is. She just assumes and makes an ass of herself. It was just too... It was a little contrived.
It was too contrived. Agree.
I'm sorry. I didn't get into it because I thought it was like you were doing it for...
What was really contrived?
Oh, we didn't even mention that racial slur that Jesse said.
I didn't think it was a racial slur. I didn't thought like it was a compliment.
We were talking about Jesse and Angie and them all putting the tree up with the kids. And Jesse goes... That's very nice, my little color elves.
No, that is not what he said. He said,
not bad, my little elves of color.
Chuck Pratt, I'm going to call the NAACP on you because I thought that line was...
I loved it. It's people of color, elves of color, equal opportunity. All the elves
they're
you see are white.
Elves.
You see elves, they're always white.
And I'll tell you, when I see my mailman, I don't go... Hi, my little mailman of color. Put that mail in there. No, they're all mailmen. Whether they're white or black, they're mailmen.
If your mailman was an elf, you might say, my little mailman, elf of color.
You are so... I didn't like that line. I found that line to be very offensive.
I thought it was funny. I liked it.
All right, go on.
It wasn't offensive. He used a politically correct term. Anyway, Zach breaks some crap in that hospital. He knocks.
So Tad would go, my little white elves.
No, because Tad is not in the minority. He's not oppressed like the black man.
That's what my point exactly. Tad would not be going, go ahead, my little elves of
but he wouldn't.
Of absence of color.
We might say my little Latino elves. Because we're Latino. We're not the people in power.
No.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, fine. I'm finishing up this damn storyline. We gotta go. I gotta take Gucci out to pee. Listen. Who is that dude that is playing Reese's dad?
Okay, I'm going to slap
George,
you.
George Hamilton?
This is what I'm talking about. Me and her have
George
not
Harrison?
Agreed on anything this whole week.
Liberace?
Okay, I'm... You leave my Frank Runyon alone. He is a soap diva. Male
he
diva. He has
weird.
Been on...
He's skinny.
He has been on...
Too much hair club for
turns,
men.
Santa Barbara.
Hair club for men.
He is a little bit older, but he still has it going on. He's not as hot as he was in the 80s because he's older. But let me tell you something. You know who he was in the 80s?
Who?
He was Steve Andropoulos on As the World Turns with Miss Meg Ryan. That's Ooh. Right. Meg Ryan, the Meg Ryan, the movie actress, played Betsy Andropoulos, and they were the star-crossed couple on As the World Turns.
Fine.
He is a major coup for all my children. He man can act. He's still good looking, and I'm hoping they put him with Susan Lucci because I am tired of her and Jerkson.
Skinny, bug-eyed, 70s haircut. That's all I gotta say. Oh my God, you look like I just said something like about the Bible or something.
I don't have no respect for you anymore.
Oh,
because I'm
no!
sorry. I'm excited that he's on the show, and I'm hoping they keep him on. I'm hoping they make him a love interest for Erica.
Listen, I took your advice about Beth Chamberlain. I watched Guiding Light to see that mother's portrayal of grief. I almost always 99.9% agree with you.
That wasn't Beth Chamberlain. That was Nicole.
No, I know. I'm talking about two separate things.
Oh, okay.
I agree with you. I agree with you on all that stuff. You're always right. You the man. This one, ooh. Chills down my spine, this guy. And then the crying, he was like working up the tears.
Oh, you know why? Because the scene was so badly written that the two of them had to give more to it because
it was
nothing. That scene, you know what?
Apparently, Reese's so dad bad. Is a homophobe.
No, the mother is.
He is too.
No.
He wouldn't let Bianca come home.
Because of the mother. He's caught in between the two of them.
All right, fine.
He's caught in between. But as much as I love those two actors, they had to overcompensate because there was nothing in this text.
Well, Bianca,
the text was so bland and boring.
Well, Bianca came home and they yelled, her and Reese are yelling at each other now all the time.
Oh, and now she has powers, Bianca does. She can tell that Reese is lying, keeping...
Well, how do we end the week with these two people?
Reese got mad at Bianca because she said, how could you do that? How could you tell my father? And that's the way it ended Friday.
Stupid.
And it was very like this.
That's what I thought. There's like all these promos for Reese's secret.
Well,
she's got a secret.
You know what? Oh, I can't say that's a spoiler. I think I know what her secret might be.
Molestation?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I read a casting notice for that. That they were looking for somebody to play.
We can't tell you people.
That's a spoiler.
That's a spoiler.
I don't even know if they're still going through with that storyline.
They have to. What do they got? What else they got?
I think that... Wouldn't that be a secret if you thought that your partner was... And then you found out that they at one point was...
You just gave the whole thing away.
No.
I did. I didn't say anything.
We ain't saying no more because we're going to get in trouble.
But see, this is the problem with Imagine. They keep bringing all these people that have no time.
Why would you care? I wouldn't even care if that happened. I can't talk about it. It's too spoiling. We're going to talk about Crystal in about a minute because I am done with this show. I am done with Crystal keeping drinking that milk. I am done with Boo Bianca drinking that milk. Who's have to breastfeed?
Yes. I was so disturbed by the fact that Bianca drank the milk. What about the baby? What happens when little Gabrielle grabs her little stuffed animal and starts humping it? Are they going to realize that she's been poisoned with Labetazine?
Labetazine.
Whatever.
Labetazone.
Labetazone. I mean, I'm sorry, but that whole... How bizarre was Bianca coming to Wildwind with the baby and getting trapped there?
The whole thing was freaking stupid.
You know what pisses me off was that this could have been an interesting storyline if you would have wrote it like a real storyline where these two people in their grief would have defined each other. But instead, you talk about Ray Gardner being the villain twirling his mustache. That's what they're doing with Vincent Irizarry. It's awful. All
right.
I'm not liking this at all.
I did like the little scenes in the beginning of the week where Crystal admitted to David that Adam was exciting and the town was boring because hallelujah, that's the truth. Finally, we get some truth out of this woman. Gotta admit, Tad is stable. Tad is good. He's dependable and very boring.
Yeah, she did not say
that.
She
didn't say that.
I'm gonna slap you. Don't you be giving them that.
He always believes me when I do that.
I know.
He gets hook, line, sinkered. Hook, line, sinker. So listen, Amanda barges in when Crystal's getting all drugged up. Her eyebrows were more effed up than ever.
JR's eyebrows were more messed up than ever.
He looked beautiful this week. I thought he looked beautiful.
I had issues with the way JR looked. I don't know. Something looked freaky in his face. I think he had his eyebrows done.
Can
and he
I
did
tell
way
you
too
one
much.
Other thing? I almost gave it a slut metric, but can't. Because it's too, it's not there yet. When Crystal had the dream that she woke up to kissing David, I got a little turned on. She was in that blue negligee and she was kissing him. I got a little turned on.
And I still say they could have wrote this story like a real storyline. I would have bought it because the two of them have chemistry and it would have been believable. But instead, they're.
What's not believable is Crystal getting home and not explaining why she's in a negligee and Tad not getting mad at her for running out in a negligee. And then that damn storm happens. And then
she's missing again.
And then she's missing again. And then David makes her warm milk again. Now this is getting sleazy, this warm milk thing. And then Binks gets caught in and she pops by.
Was she again at Wildwind?
I have no clue.
Why was she coming? Oh, because
the storm? I have no clue. The storm. I love Gabriella's little papoose. It was adorable, that little papoose.
You know, I forgot to mention another annoying thing.
What? We got to end the show.
I know, but did you notice that scene where David crossed paths with Randy in the hospital and they didn't even acknowledge each other? They didn't acknowledge each other.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
Someone had a very good explanation. We might be wrong about the explanation.
What?
Someone on our blog, I believe it was a new reader, and I'm part of me because I'm forgetting who it was, but they mentioned that perhaps David knew her from when he was in the clinic. I think that's possible. It'd be much better than him being a John.
They, like I said, they crossed paths in the front of the camera and didn't even acknowledge her. That's bad.
Did you like Bubianca's reaction to the milk? She got all slutty. It was nice.
She was rambling on like an idiot. I thought those scenes were so... I don't know. It made no sense.
They just blah, 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 Crystal and David about Babe. And that's just creepy because he knew her for like 5 minutes. He knew Babe for like 5 minutes. It doesn't make any sense. But I liked when David called that hot Indian doctor in Africa. That guy was hot. I liked him a lot. I thought he was very attractive.
Oh, he was from Heroes? The guy from Heroes, the Indian doctor in Heroes.
I liked him. I thought he was good casting. I thought he was very good.
I thought it was nice that they had somebody of ethnicity on All My Children.
Well, basically, was this similar to your storyline?
What?
Because David had...
No, I had a storyline that would bring Brooke back to go look for Jamie, yes. I wonder if they did read the blog and rip my storyline off. This is what was disturbing. David actually got this Indian doctor to lie for him. I found that to be disturbing. Who would do that?
That was very disturbing. Obviously, he saved the man's life at some point, so it was like...
No, but how can you call somebody up and tell them that your brother
but
and your
that's
son
the point.
Is like
David has that pull. You know what I'm saying?
Oh no, I didn't buy that at all.
Well, the Indian guy basically tells David that, you know, Jamie and
Jeff are fine.
Are fine in Africa. And then David says, I need you to scare somebody. So he called, the Indian doctor calls Tad and says that they haven't been seen in 2 weeks and scares the crap out of Tad. So Tad goes flying off.
Yeah, I want you to call my sister and tell her that I was in a car accident. Right? You wouldn't do that. That's insane.
It's Dr. David.
No, I'm sorry.
It's Dr. David's insane friends.
I didn't buy it at all.
Of course, Tad goes to find them and Crystal tries to stop him and she can't.
Yeah, but you know what? In a way, Crystal's kind of right. Because even in my storyline where I had Brooke coming back, Jake went, not Tad. I had Jake tell Tad, you know what? You can't go down there. You got two daughters to think of. What if something happens to you? Plus the fact that he's leaving Crystal at a moment where she's going through so much.
Then, but I did like Tad going to kiss gorgeous baby Jenny with her little bug eyes. She got little bug eyes, that little baby. He's just shaking his head. He's so done with this. Kathy's back. Kathy's the best. Kathy's one of the best things on this show, I'm telling you right now. She is bugging Crystal to build a snowman, and Crystal starts bugging out.
Yeah, but you know what? They had a storyline with Kathy. What happened to that?
It's gone. Just get over it. Dead. They so killed stupid. It. Crystal has a panic attack. Who does she call? Duh, of course. And who drugs her again? David, of course. Where does David get the milk in Crystal's house that he drugs her with? He makes it in the hallway. I was so pissed at that.
I was disgusted with those scenes. You know right. why? Because that was so disrespectful of Crystal.
And then Crystal keeps all week saying, I love that milk. I could use a good cup of milk.
What about all those close-ups of the cup?
It's so weird. And then when she would stir it, there was nothing in it. It was so obvious.
Who directs this show?
And then
when
she grabs the mug, it should be hot, but she doesn't even care. She just grabs it around the mug part.
But did you see all those close-ups of the mug? We get it. The mug's poisoned with milk.
I'm going to tell you right now. Thong, mug, weave in order of appearance. Or in order of importance. Like in order of performances, actually. Performance? Milk? No. Thong, mug, weave in order of performance okay. This week. Listen. Kathy comes in. I adore this girl. And David helps her read a story.
Yeah,
and David
creepy.
Acts like the child molester.
That was creepy.
And
that
he gets
was
all
so
choked
creepy.
Up with Kathy and says, you remind me of Babe. And he kisses her on the mouth. I was disgusted.
I agree with you. It was very child molesterish.
All right. Maybe he didn't kiss
Amber
her on the
alert,
mouth.
Amber alert.
Maybe he didn't kiss her on the mouth. But it was really gross. Whatever he did.
It was
did.
Gross. And you know what else I didn't buy? It just was so disrespectful, Crystal, to have Tad's arch nemesis in the house. All up on his daughter, rubbing up on her.
Disgusting.
It was disgusting.
And then Crystal puts the kids to bed, and she goes to see David, and I was so pissed because we didn't know who the kids were with, and I was like, who the F is with her kids?
Yeah, I kept wondering about that, too.
I was so pissed. And then she kisses David. Ick. And then, fine, we cut to hot Winifred. She looked pretty hot. She looks sexy now that she don't gotta wear that uniform. He's yawning. I got to wrap this up. So then JR shows up with Little A because JR wants Little A to have a sleepover. And who does he see walk in but that whore, Crystal. Hooah. She's a hooah.
Like mother, like daughter.
I was so happy. And I thought JR was great. You hated it. I loved it. He put her in his place. He said, you're going to tell Tad. If there's nothing wrong with it, tell Tad. He was right.
No, I didn't say there was something wrong with what JR said. I just didn't like JR's look. I thought those eyebrows were a little too...
I thought he was gorgeous today.
Good for you.
I think that you have 2.5 minutes for One Life to
Live.
Okay,
you need to stop doing this. Otherwise, I'm going to have to start talking about One Life to Live first.
All right, you talk about it first then.
You know how much happens on a week of One Life to Live?
I know.
More than happens in a year on All My Children.
I like it.
All I will say about One Night to Live this week was that every day was an episode worth watching. There was so much going on. Monday, we got the return of Taya with Todd. Tuesday, we had that beautiful Christmas movie. Caroline comes home
Christmas.
Oh my God, that episode was
so fantastic.
I loved it.
Every character is like, and it's all the girls,
right?
Like all the women have memories of this movie, watching this movie, this old movie when they're little, and they all like at 8 o'clock, like the movie's gonna be on, and everybody like gets ready for bed because they want to all see this movie, and everybody sees the movie, even Jess in the crazy home.
Yeah,
the nuns get everybody ready to see.
It was a very romantic episode of One Night to Live with these couples bonding and connecting. It was
Blair,
Ron C., beautifully done. Wednesday was the funeral.
That killed me.
That was.
I'm going to tell you one thing. Can I comment on this?
What?
This, first of all, you had the priest. Who's his name? Andrew? I don't know the history of the show.
Yes, Andrew Carp. They brought... See, this is why One Night to Live is superior than All My Children Right Now. They brought
right
back
now?
Wortham Krimmer. Reverend Andrew Carpenter, who was a big character back in the 90s. He was married to Dorian's daughter, Cassie. And he was the reverend for years in the show. And he still lives in Landview. So they brought him back for this. Go ahead.
Well, my point on that is not only did they bring back a character that has some history, but when he talked to Star and she asked him about this, you could hear, like, I thought to myself, whoever wrote this dialogue between him and Star and whoever wrote the homily, the sermon mm-hmm. for Star's baby's funeral, like, was up all night, like, thinking of every perfect word to write, like, just giving it their heart and soul, because what that priest said to Star was so beautiful and so real. You know, he didn't say, like, it's God's will or blah, blah, blah. He just was like, it's not ever going to make any sense to you, and sometimes things don't make sense. You know, and he was just, I was, like, crying as he was talking to her, and then he gives this sermon, people, that was so realistic and so truthful. I was freaking bawling. And everybody in that chapel was bawling. Like, Blair couldn't even stop crying. It was just tears and tears and tears because it was so realistic and truthful and real and good and comforting. He said the perfect thing the whole time. And it wasn't preachy and it wasn't gospel-y. It wasn't like the same thing been said 100,000 times. It just was amazing. And then they go, and there's a little casket, and they all say goodbye to Hope, and then Marty shows up, and I was bawling.
It was a tough week. I mean, those scenes where Jack, Todd's son, demanded to see
loved
his son.
That.
I mean, he wanted to see his father. I mean, those scenes.
That little kid acted like a dick, and that's exactly how a little kid should act. If your dad is a psycho lunatic in jail.
Oh, my God. He reminds me of Star. Because Star, when she was a little, she was a pain in the ass, too. What do you expect? She's Todd and Blair's child.
Yeah.
So he's acting like Todd and Blair's son. I mean, this show is so well thought out. They have storylines. And these stories are going somewhere. And that's what I'm not getting. When I watch All My Children, I'm wondering, what is all this about?
But the biggest thing that you pointed out to me that is true is that they take the time to actually tell the story.
Yeah.
Like, when Blair gets home from sleeping all night with John, the kid has been acting up and throwing his food everywhere.
Right.
And she has to deal with that. And she's like, you know what? I didn't deal with that. I got to go deal with this now.
Yeah.
And you know what she does? He starts asking her questions. She's like, you know what? I'm going to take him to talk to his father.
There you go.
And she does. And I thought that was freaking brilliant.
Let me tell you
that. And
you
know what? She didn't even sugarcoat it. It wasn't like she was like being a mom that's like, your dad is not well, right? She was like, you know what? Screw this. He's going to see his dad. Let his father explain.
Exactly.
I loved it.
And her and John have so much chemistry. I mean, I have not liked John, but her and John.
I haven't either.
I'm not a big John fan.
But he was with Petunia Pig? Oh, no.
Yeah, you're right.
He was with Petunia Pig?
He was with Petunia Pig, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's with Natalie.
Yeah, that's Natalie. That's Petunia, yeah.
Well, no, the other one, too.
Who?
Heather Tom.
Oh, no, John wasn't with her.
That's what I'm saying.
I
thought we call her Petunia Pig.
Yeah, you're right. She is Petunia Pig.
Natalie's just fat.
Well, yeah. Well, I am. Tess and Brody are like.
Sorry. I don't mean to be offensive. I really don't. I don't like her. I don't like her acting. She was
voted
best actor, soap opera, whatever. So angry.
Tess and Brody are like. Just Tess and Brody are like hot.
Why didn't Brody tell her that she said that her kid wasn't hers? Because didn't Tess say to Brody, they got my kid, they got my kid?
He probably thinks she's not.
did you catch that? Didn't
yeah,
you think
but,
he was going to tell her that?
No, I think he probably thinks she's not. But you know what? We do have to talk about.
What? Taya Florentino.
Taya Delgado.
He loves her.
And she doesn't know Taya's history. So she was like.
She was so offended before.
She didn't understand Monday's episode. As somebody who was a big Taya and Todd fan.
Let me explain one thing. I didn't understand why, after the way Todd left her, she would come back all happy to represent him.
No, she's not. See, you got to understand their relationship and how the
he
one
gets
thing
mad
I love
people.
About
he doesn't
Delgado,
like it. He thinks it's character assassination when I say stuff like that.
Yeah, because you don't know the history. You don't know what the you don't know what.
Set me straight, Jordan Hudson.
One of the reasons that I love the character Taya
in 1 minute
is because Taya is not black or white. Taya is very gray.
She's Puerto Rican.
No, you're so stupid. Her character is Puerto Rican, not the actress. I think the actress is like Argentinian or something.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Beautiful. But anyway, her character was brought on, and she was the first time they had an actress or actor of color. And Debbie Morgan's made a comment about this too, how whenever you have a person of color on a show, they either have to be like a saint or they have to be like a drug addict, like criminal. They can't be just like a character like their Caucasian counterparts. Taya was like an Erica Kane. She was somebody who grew up poor. She was the daughter of this man who was the superintendent of this building on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And she was ashamed of that. And she was determined to make something of herself. And she would do whatever it takes to get there. And when she first came on the show, she was a bit of a bitch. She did some grimy things. And when she met Todd, the reason she married Todd, she became Todd's lawyer. And she married Todd because she told Todd, Todd paid her $1 million to marry her so they can get custody of Star from Blair. I mean, they fell in love during their fake marriage. But the thing was that you realize that Taya has issues and she always goes for the bad guys. She's a very, she doesn't know how to deal with guys. Because Andrew, the reverend that you like so much, he was in a triangle with her and Todd. He
Ooh, sexy.
He loved Taya. And
she didn't go for the good guy.
No, she actually was drawn to him, but she was always pulled back by Todd. And it was great writing by Claire Levine because a good triangle has you rooting for both sides. Mm-hmm. And when I would see her with Reverend Carpenter, I wanted her with Reverend Carpenter. But whenever she'd go back with Todd, I'd want her with Todd. And seeing her back here, it's like she can't help it. She loves Todd. And as much as she doesn't want to, she can't help but want to help him. And it was great having her back. The scenes where Antonio confronted her, because she was also a friend of the Vega family. So that scene where Antonio sees her and immediately calls her, "You're here to rescue Todd."
I'm with you on the Vegas, by the way.
Those were great scenes.
I'm with you on the Vegas.
And then, of course, the end of the week. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen Friday's episode.
I didn't see Friday's yet.
I'm going to have to ruin it for you.
No!
The show ends with Todd standing up ready to declare himself. You know, the judge was like, "How do you
guilty?
Plead?" And before he could say anything,
Taya rushes in.
Taya opens those doors and she says, "Todd, don't say a word." And Blair turns around and Blair's like, "Taya Delgado." And I was like, Ron C knows how to write a scene, because that's how you write it. Because Blair and Taya have history. Even Star, you couldn't pronounce Taya, so she used to call her T.
I like
and
that.
And so even you could see when Star turned around, Star was like, 'cause Star liked Taya. So I was living, and the last scene was just Taya Delgado.
He was living.
It was a close-up of Miss Florencia going, like, giving soap
diva look.
She's
the best. She's so good.
Liv! Taya, I am so glad you're back, Florencia.
She is so good.
And Moonlight to Live is hot.
You know what? I never saw her in, you know, the old days or whatever, but I could tell. You tell me if I'm wrong.
What?
She has not missed a day in terms of knowing her character, right?
Oh,
she's exactly the same, right?
No,
her character is that.
You know what I'm saying? Her character was always the kind of person, she was very Latina, very put your foot in your mouth. I love that scene where she was like, she told Christian, "Oh, this is your girlfriend, you know." And poor Sarah was there like, because you know what was great was that she told, she goes, "No, but these are the type of girls that he liked. Don't she look like Rosanna?" Rosanna was her niece that Christian was married to and was also Christian's first girlfriend. That's why she assumed that was the girlfriend. And I thought that was great on Ron C's part you know what I mean? The history. It's all about the history for me.
See, people, we do have nice things to say about people when they're good.
Or when they're on One Light to
Live. Yikes. Well, also, we say good things about people, about things that are good.
Oh, and I got to tell you, Chuck Branson.
Heating up the screen, Guiding Light,
Oh,
huh?
My God. Like a breath. He is like the hottest thing on Guiding Light right now. I got to tell you. Hottest thing on Guiding Light right now. If you're a Jeff Branson fan, he played Special Johnny Lavery. You got to start watching Guiding Light for him. Because
I can't watch Guiding Light, though. It's so hard to watch. The video is so ugly.
I know. It's very like a student film.
It's
horrible. But, I mean, when you...
Horrible.
He's been rocking it out, people. And Larry Law, Greg Nelson from All My Children.
Yes, I love him.
Good on As the World Turns. Really interesting.
I adore
right.
him.
We gotta go.
Gucci,
you
gotta
get me
pee.
Talking, and I go off on these tangents.
No,
I'm sorry.
Listen, the viewers and listeners appreciate it.
I know it's
because
tangents. I'm just being silly.
You have very astute commentary, Jordan Hudson. We always love your astute commentary.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that Gucci has to pee. All right, listen, if you want to write us, your best bet really is to email us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. You can go to our MySpace page. I don't know what you're going to find, but you could go there. www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. Or better yet, go to the blog site. go to pinevalleypodcast.com, click over to the blog site, and leave your comments there. There's always something to talk about on the blog site, and there's room for everybody. Come on, come on.
And we talk about everything. We talk about prime time shows. We talk about music, everything.
Music, we got a very
culturally eclectic, diverse group of people. That's we love talking about everything and sharing everything.
We have enjoyed doing the show for you this week. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here is that damn brat Beth Ehlers, J.R. Martinez clip for you. You decide.
By casting real-life Iraq war hero J.R. Martinez alongside Beth Ehlers as soldiers who fell in love on the front lines and are still battling a war at home. Take a look.
Yes, you came very close to death and you have the scars to prove it, but that bomb didn't blow away what we had together.
My feelings have changed too.
You're a liar.
Now you're telling me how I feel?
You are a liar and a thief because you are trying to take away the best memories of my life and of your life. I damn you!
Please welcome J.R. Martinez and Beth Ehlers.
I'm doing it!
I'm big time now. I tell you, I seen Hugh in the green room. I say, how can I become the sexiest man alive? I'm like, you know?
Look, who said you're not?
You know, when I got injured, the doctor, I was looking at my body and I was like, man, this is horrible. I'm 19 years old. My life has changed. I don't know what's going to happen. And he said, don't worry, chicks dig scars. So my word's my advantage.
We can see what the where you were hurt. But how do you keep this upbeat attitude? Where did this come from?
A lot of it starts from me being a child. My mother, my family's from Central America, uh-huh. And my mother left her country to come to this great country and find a future for mm-hmm. her family. Yes. And she struggled her whole life. Mm-hmm. You know, I've grew up without a father. My father's nowhere in the picture. And you know, it's no different than any war that we all fight day in and day out, mm-hmm. from what is the economy now to whether, you know, an illness, whether a loss of a love, of a relationship, whatever the case may be, there's a war and there's a battle. And you have to know that it's like a clock, you know, it'll come back around to good, something right. good. As long as the battery and as long as the batteries work, it's good. And the batteries is your heart and your mind. Mm-hmm. If you put heart and mind into it every day, it's going to come back to 12, to the great time in your life again. You have to believe that.
Absolutely. To know who you are, I want to take them kind of back to the beginning. And you were a high school football hero. You joined the Army right after graduation, and you were deployed to Iraq in March of 2003. Now, 3 weeks after you got to Iraq, there was a terrible accident. Can you tell us what happened?
Absolutely. My job, I was in the United States Army. I was with the 101st out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And this day, we were driving through a city called Karbala. And we were rerouted, and I was a driver of the Humvee with three other soldiers, and we were rerouted. My front left tire ran over a landmine. And it immediately threw the other three guys out of the vehicle. Thank goodness they all walked away with minor injuries, but I was trapped inside the vehicle. Mm-hmm. At that time, they had to get everyone to a safe distance, and once they were able to come back to my aid, I had been burned over 40% of my body. And I was conscious through the whole time I was in the vehicle. And that was... It was something that it allowed me to really reflect on my life. And you hear the stuff in Hollywood that my life flashed before my eyes. Guess what? It happened.
Is that what happened?
And it did. I mean, I can see my mother is my friend. My mother is the woman of my life. Mm-hmm. And I can see them actually handing her a flag. And I thought to myself, no way will she go through that. I have to fight and hang on a little bit, just a little bit longer. I had to have faith in these guys.
You must have been in tremendous pain, too.
You know, all of us have been burned in some way, you know, on the stove or an iron or whatever, and you think, oh my God, but when it's 40% and 33% of that is third degree, mm-hmm. and I had, as you can see a lot of the pictures, I had inhalation damage as well, and that's my mother, and that's me going through one of the 32 surgeries that I had down at Brook Army Medical Center. Mm-hmm. It's a long road, you know, it's a long road. It's you go from that battlefield, and then you go to a new one, and this one can last forever.
Can I ask you, like I said, you were this football hero. You took a lot of pride in how you looked. Right. You got your girls So when you saw, you 32 surgeries, when you saw yourself, what was going on with you?
I think the same thing that all of us think and say at some point in time when we realize the severity of something that we go through in our life is why. Mm-hmm. Why do I have to go through this? Right. And what? How is it going to work out for me?
Right.
And I just said, I'm 19. I don't want to deal with this. This is too much to deal with. I don't want to go through
it. Did your mom help you kind of take that next step into accepting where you are?
She definitely did, but it was tough for her because I would tell her, you don't understand what I'm going through. You would never understand what I'm going through. So you can say whatever you want to say, but it's not going to make a difference to me. And I would basically push her off. And finally, she said something to me that just sat in my mind, in my heart, and it was, JR, one thing you have to learn in life is that no matter who's going to be in your life, whether it be a friend, a girlfriend, a wife, even a mother, they're going to love you for who you are as a person and not what you look like.
And so then after, you had gotten into motivational speaking to help others.
Yeah.
And you were talking to people. And now you are on All My Children playing Beth Eller's love interest. Yeah. What happened from then to now?
Only in America. Only in America. Only in America. Only in America. This is not political at all, but only in America where great things like this can happen in this world, and it's something where, luckily for me, I was able to realize I had a gift, and my gift was to give back to people.
Yeah.
And it was something that was experience, and I was giving it back to people through motivational speaking, and luckily enough, I've been blessed to do that. And they set out a casting call. My Children has always been the first soap to kind of test the waters and try something new and do something current. And they wanted to do this, and they sent out a casting call. Lucky enough, I was in L.A. at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I looked at my BlackBerry, and I read the email, and I said, well, I'm going to New York this weekend. Let me give them a call.
And now you and Beth
in this
hot scene together.
In this hot scene, so what were you thinking when you first, when you first met J.R.?
And then tell us a little bit about your storyline, too, because we know it's complex.
Yes. Well, he was the first person that I auditioned, and the only burn victim, actually. The rest of the guys were amputees. Mm-hmm. So that's heavy enough, and you're starting to audition people who don't know how to act. So as an actor, that's the first hurdle. Mm-hmm. And then dealing with the heaviness of the situation and all the worry of, are we exploiting these people? What are we doing? You want to do the best thing, and you want these guys to know we're really looking for your dignity and your sacrifice. And he's stood out. He has these lovely eyes and
acting chops.
And certainly has grown as an actor, but definitely these eyes, that's the most important thing, as you guys know, with the camera, looking into those eyes. And
and the name of your character is Brat Monroe, which sounds like a porn name, frankly.
And I'm Taylor Thompson. I sound like a weather girl.
And that's good to know, because at least if I know if this doesn't work out, then you... I got a second backup career already. I already have the name, as long as ABC let me have it.
That's right. And your acting chops, you come onto the set, and the first thing that happens for you on the set is what? Do you go, what have I gotten myself into? Because the soap business is vastly different,
Oh, absolutely. I've been very blessed and lucky. The fact that I'm comfortable in front of an audience and it doesn't bother me. And I have great cast members to work with. I mean, people that have been in this industry for so long and that have not made me feel like there's any added pressure. Yeah. Just like, look, JR, just go out there and just be you, and you'll slowly start to grow.
With any new person, you give them room, you give them time, it's going to take a second to get adjusted and be comfortable. But he's so reflective a person anyway that he has this innate acting thing that he understands. Right. And he listens really well. And he's gotten to the point now in such a short period of time that what we do in the dressing room, where you stretch the scene a little bit before you bring it back, he's able to actually bring that onto the set at the time and feel comfortable. If I throw something at him, he's right back there hitting the ball back to me.
Beth and JR.
You got to be on top of your game with this woman.
Well, you guys are absolutely, you are on top of your game, and thank you so much for coming and sharing this with us.
Thank you very much.
All My Children airs weekdays right here on ABC.
Thank
we'll be right back.